We have heard the saying, there is no saint without a past, there is no sinner without a future. In our readings today, we heard about three men who acknowledged that they were sinners, and God gave them a future by calling them to be his messengers. Especially St. Paul in our second reading, who judges himself to be unworthy of the name or the call, as he was former persecutor or former murderer of Christians. It was by giving these three men a strong conviction of their unworthiness on his grace that God prepared them. For these various ministers of God are set before us so that we can reassess our own call from God and our response to him. The Second Vatican Council teaches us that we are all called to ministry by virtue of our baptism into Jesus Christ. God calls those who are weak to teach us that conversion comes from him and not from his messengers. He calls the unqualified so that he can qualify the called by giving them the grace. He calls the weak to prove to us that the power of conversion comes from him and not from us or not from the sword. And he himself, God himself, cleansed Isaiah as we hear in our first reading. There are three characteristics that God wants to see in us as his co-workers: pity, the true knowledge of who we are and who is God, who desires that we work with him to make us his instrument for other people to know him, to love. This is the basic catechism of the Baltimore Catechism. What is our purpose of being here in the world? To know God, to love him, and to serve him. Fishermen are humble, that is why they are more patient than others. Both Isaiah and St. Paul acknowledges their unworthiness confronted in the presence of God. This attitude of Isaiah of being unworthy to proclaim the word is still being prayed in every Mass. Before a priest proclaims the gospel, he will pray, "Cleanse my heart and my lips, Almighty God, that I may worthily proclaim your holy gospel." Or when the deacon do the proclamation, he will ask the blessing of the priest, and the priest will say, "May the Lord be in your heart and on your lips, that you may proclaim his gospel worthily and well." In the name of the Father, and the deacon signs himself with the cross and replies, "Amen." Second, perseverance, to keep on trying and never, ever giving up. He even said in our second reading today, "I have toiled more than the other apostle," but he said, "It's not really me, it was with the grace of God." Or in 2 Timothy, he also said, chapter 4, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Jesus is asking each one of us today to fulfill our baptismal vow, that is, to reject evil and to do good. Not all legal are right. Remember, many years ago, slavery was legal, segregation was legal, and killing Jews during the Holocaust was legal. And people realized these ideas and practices are wrong. They are evil. They are a grievous sin. So by common sense, these practices have to be rejected as evil. The lesson is, never use the state as metric for ethics. Again, freeing is criminalized, and hiding Jewish people was criminalized. These teachings are all wrong. They have to stop, and people realize that we never use the state as metric or standard for ethics. In the Declaration of our Independence, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, not the government, with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Murder of an innocent person is never right. Murder of a child, born or unborn, is not, was not, and will never be right. Abortion is not and will never be right. Infanticide is wrong, even if all the states make laws to make it legal. We have come so far from our founding fathers that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among them, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it. Killing a baby, born or unborn, is always wrong. To stop this culture of death, we who are Christians are called by God to proclaim the truth out of love for all our brothers and sisters. We can't rest until all are enlightened and make the darkness of abortion banish from our society and make abortion not only illegal but unthinkable. How did we arrive here and accepted abortion or killing babies as okay? It started when we disregard the teaching of the church, when many have rejected Saint Pope Paul VI's teaching on transmission of human life in 1968, or more than 50 years ago, this encyclical Humanae Vitae. We have departed from God's plan on marriage and human life as a whole. Then in less than 5 years, abortion was made legal in 1973. Again, not all legal is right, but many were deceived. Conversion or change of heart has to start from each one of us. Let's all cooperate with God's plan. What makes us different and superior from any other animals is that God has given us intellect and free will. Let us use both of them to know that God the Father immensely loves us as His children. This is the first identity. We are all beloved children of God. We are not identified by our sexual preference, such as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning. No, our first identity is that we are beloved children of God. We have a Father in heaven. We have Mary as our mother. And God has a plan and a mission that is unique for each one of us. He created us. He decided that we are either male or female. We are all His creatures. Let us all respect the design of God, our Creator. So let us free men from the sea of deception and sin so that we will be free from the slavery of sin. This is the meaning of what Jesus told to Peter and James and John. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching. For that the sea was like the abode of the enemy, the devil, because of the story of the swine. The demonic went to the swine and then they ran to the sea and they drowned. But of course, for now, for our interpretation of this gospel, Jesus wants us to help free our brothers and sisters from this sea of deception that separating the two main purposes of marriage, of unity for husband and wife, and procreation. We separated it, and that's the beginning of these problems of abortion, because also abortion is a backup of artificial contraception. So, the third part of this characteristic that we need in order to be follower of God and His messenger is trust. Peter and company keep trying to catch fish all night but caught nothing. And even at daytime, when Jesus commanded Peter, he complied not out of practical reason, but out of faith in Jesus' word, which rested in the word of the Master, whom he later called Lord. Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing, but at your word I will lower the nets. Then with a great catch, he said, let us obey God's word and trust in him, that in the end the good will win over evil. Fishermen are at the mercy of God, for they don't have control of the fish. They only have trust in God's mercy that he will give them what they need for their daily sustenance. As co-workers of our Lord, we are to imitate these three men and other apostles and saints to be humble, to be persistent in proclaiming God's truth in love, and to trust always in the Lord that the good will triumph and that he will make us saints so he can help others to be holy also. The only regret that we will have in the end of this life is not for being a saint, because God has provided for us all the guidance and help through our Holy Mother Church, through the sacraments, and through the example of the saints and the holy people in our community. May the Mother of God, the Queen of Apostles, intercede for us all. Amen.